Going to look at that passage we read from Nehemiah and words in chapter 9 and verse 17. That's the passage, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. What is the greatest news you could possibly hear as you enter 2017? Maybe it will be that you've got a job. Maybe you've been unemployed for some time looking for a job. And at last, in this coming year, you'll hear that you've got that job. That will be good news indeed. Or maybe you'll learn that you and your wife or husband are expecting a child. You long for a family for years and years and years. And then the good news will come that you're expecting an addition to the family. That will be wonderful, wonderful news indeed. Or maybe you'll hear that there's been a real improvement in your health. You've suffered pain and sickness for many, many years, and life has been a struggle. But now there'll be some medical advance, and you'll know better health in 2017. That'll be good news indeed. But this evening, I want to tell you the greatest news you could ever hear, not just in 2017, but any day of your life. The great news any man or woman could ever hear. And that is a statement about God that we read there in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. It says, "You are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness." Let me just explain for a moment how that statement came to be made. Nehemiah, the man who wrote this book, was the governor of Jerusalem in about 440 BC. Under his leadership, the people had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by enemies. As soon as that massive job was completed, they held two very special services in the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 8, we read about a great preaching service, one of the greatest preaching services there has ever been. But here in chapter 9, we read that they held a prayer meeting, one of the greatest prayer meetings there has ever been. And in that prayer meeting, the religious leaders confessed before God the many sins that the people of Israel had committed. God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt in the most amazing way. God had led them and provided for them as they journeyed through the wilderness. God had given them just and fair laws, which were for their good. But they had treated God abominably and sinned against him. Sins like idolatry and pride and arrogance. These religious leaders confessed all of this before God. But in the midst of this solemn confession of the sins of the people of Israel, they praise and thank God that he is ready to pardon. You are God, ready to pardon. One of the greatest statements you could ever hear. It was made during one of the greatest prayer meetings there has ever been. Now you may say, I can't see anything particularly wonderful about that statement. It doesn't grip me, it doesn't amaze me at all. I can understand how you feel. There was a time when I felt like that. I used to hear people talking excitedly about God being willing to pardon sin, and it meant nothing to me. It didn't interest me in the slightest. I was quite happy to carry on as I was, going my own way, sinning against God, no problems. But then one day, someone really spoke to me very seriously in a sermon about my great sin. And that truth, that God is willing to pardon, came home to me and thrilled me and has done so ever since. And I hope that this statement will thrill you this evening. God is ready to pardon. Why is this such great news? Well, first of all, because pardon is our great need. We all need it. Every man and woman born into this world needs forgiveness. What I mean is this, according to the Bible, we have all done wrong. We've all sinned against God. We've all rebelled against God's laws. He is our maker. He's our creator. And he has the right to tell us how he expects us to live. And he's laid down certain laws in the Old Testament. But all of us, without exception, have broken God's laws. We've been like these Israelites in this passage. We've all been proud. God has given us a law which is perfectly just and fair and good, but we've argued with it. God says, I'm to have first place in your life. You're to have no other gods before me. But we've all argued with that. And we've all pushed God aside. And we've made a god of our pleasure, or we've made a god of our sport, or we've made a god of our money, or we've made a god of many other things. We've all broken God's laws. We've all pushed God into the background. God's law says that we must never use his name carelessly. Never use his name as an oath. But I guess we've all done that. God's law says that we should never be dishonest, never tell a lie, never bear false witness. But we've all been untruthful. We've all told lies. God says that we should never do anything impure, never do anything immoral. And although we may not have done anything outrageous, we've all had immoral thoughts and an imagination which is immoral at times. And God says we should never be greedy or selfish, never covet. But we've all been greedy and we've all been selfish. We've all broken God's laws. And that makes us guilty in the eyes of God. Every one of us without exception. God has examined our lives. And God declares all have sinned. All have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. So we all need pardon, no matter who we are. You may be very educated and very learned, diplomas and degrees galore, and a doctorate thrown in as well. You may be very clever. But you still need to be forgiven for all your sin against God. You may be quite wealthy and have everything that money can buy. But you still need pardon for God to forgive you for your many sins. You may have been brought up very strictly, and you may have lived a kind of decent life. You've never rolled home drunk. You've never robbed a bank. You've never been unfaithful to your wife. You lived a decent sort of life in the eyes of men and women. But you've still sinned against God, and you still need to be pardoned. We all do. Are we clear about that? We will never appreciate the wonder of the statement about God being ready to pardon until we realize that this is our greatest need, all of us. Sadly, many people never think about that. They think they're okay just as they are. They hardly ever think about God, their maker. Though they push God constantly into the background of their lives and just live for self, they don't seem to realize that they're guilty in the sight of God and that they desperately need pardon. But if you have seen that you are a guilty sinner, if you've come here this evening with a guilty conscience because of something you've done, maybe in 2016, that you're ashamed of, I'm sure you will agree that this is one of the greatest statements you could ever hear, that God is ready to pardon. Indeed, this is our desperate need. It's the most urgent need you have at the present moment. You may think that your most urgent need is to get some more money to pay the post-Christmas bills. You may think your most urgent need is for a bigger house or a better car. You may think your biggest need is for a holiday to get some rest. But your greatest need your desperate need is for pardon for all your sin. And I'll tell you why. Because until and unless we are pardoned, we will never know true peace and joy. You see, we've all got a conscience. Every one of us. It's that kind of monitor that God has put within us. And when we do things that are wrong, it stabs us and troubles us. And we will never know peace. We'll never know joy until we're pardoned. It's our desperate need. We'll never be able to approach God until we're pardoned. We'll never be able to enter heaven until we're pardoned. We would all like to enter heaven when we die, don't we? None of us likes to think that death will be the gateway to something awful. We'll all like to go to heaven when we die. But there's no hope of entering heaven until we're pardoned. You see, heaven is a place of purity. Heaven is a place of absolute sinlessness. Heaven is a place which is absolutely perfect and wonderful and glorious. If God were to allow unforgiven sinners into heaven, they would soon spoil it and turn it into hell. God cannot, in his justice, allow guilty sinners into heaven. We have no hope of getting there until we are pardoned. You see, it's our greatest need. Indeed, if we're not pardoned, then tragically, we will go to a place called hell, far away from God, and far away from all that is good, a place of punishment and despair and remorse. Do you see then that pardon is our greatest need? That's the first reason why it's such wonderful news to hear that God is ready to pardon, because it is our greatest need. Secondly, it's wonderful news because it's offered by a great God. You are God ready to pardon. Who is God? Is he a mere nobody? Who's God? Is he somebody you can ignore? Who's God? Verse 6 of this chapter tells us he is the Lord. He made the heavens, even the highest heavens, with all their starry host. The sun, the moon, and the stars. He made the earth, says this passage, and everything in it. He made the seas, and everything in them. He's the mighty creator of everything. He upholds and preserves all things. He's the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. People talk about the power of the President of the USA, the power of President Putin of Russia. That's nothing. That's nothing. God is the ruler of the whole universe. Seated on the throne of the universe. I'm an insignificant little fellow living in a small island. But the wonder is this great God who rules over all things is willing to pardon a vile sinner like me. I find that almost unbelievable, but it's so wonderfully true. You've heard of the royal pardon, haven't you? The royal pardon, when the king or the queen of a country pardons some notorious person. Well, this evening, we're talking about the greatest royal pardon you could ever have. It comes from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yet men and women turn their noses up at the mention of it. Don't want to know. Don't want to listen. Imagine. Here's a man in the condemned cell, due to be hanged for treason. and other crimes. The days are passing by. The doom is coming soon. But then someone turns up at his cell door holding a sheet of parchment in his hand and says to him, "The sovereign of the country has decided to pardon you. Here is the evidence. Decided to pardon you, you can go free." And the criminal in the condemned cell tears up the parchment and tramples it underfoot. He'd be mad to do that, wouldn't he? Lunatic to do that. Of course he'd welcome the pardon. Yet men and women in Great Britain today are offered this wonderful pardon from God, that he's willing to pardon all their sins. Yet they ridicule that, and they sniff at that, and they spit at that, and want nothing to do with it. This pardon comes from our great God. It's our great need. It's offered by the great God. Yes, and to appreciate just a bit more about this pardon, we need to realize that this pardon that God offers is a great favor. A great favor. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it. You see, a prisoner, a criminal in prison, can earn remission by doing good in prison, by turning over a new leaf. He's sentenced to 10 years, maybe, but he can earn remission by being well-behaved and being a decent sort of prisoner in the prison. He can earn the governor's favor and get remission. But there is nothing we have done. There is nothing we can do to earn God's pardon. There are some people who think they can earn God's pardon. They think they deserve God's pardon. I've met many such people down through the years. They say, "Well, I recognize that I've sinned against God. I recognize I'm not perfect." Of course I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. I recognize I'm not perfect, but I do my best. I do my good deeds. I help the aged, and I help with the Red Cross, and I help with the St. John's Ambulance, and if there's an appeal in the streets for needy children, I help with that. I do my best. I give to good causes. I'm sure that God will smile upon me and pardon my sins and let me into heaven. They think they deserve it. But you know, the Bible says that all our good deeds, all our righteousnesses, are like filthy rags in God's sight. You see, because all the good deeds we do are all tainted with pride, aren't they? You do a good deed for someone and you've done it, and then you think, I'm proud of that. All our good deeds are tainted with sin. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's eyes. We can't deserve God's favor. We can't deserve God's pardon. You can turn over a new leaf. You can become very religious. Some people think that they're earning God's pardon by being religious. Ask them, how do you hope to get into heaven? You stand at the heaven's gates. Give God a reason why he should let you in. And they'll tell you, "Well, I go to the mosque every Friday. I go to the Buddhist temple every so often. I go to Amiens Park Chapel every so often. Of course God will let me into heaven. I'm a religious kind of person. I've been going to church all my life. Of course God will let me in." They think they deserve God's pardon. But none of us deserve God's pardon. The pardon that God gives is an undeserved favor. That's why it's so great and so wonderful. My friend, you can never earn it. Do what you will, you can never earn it. You can work your fingers to the bone doing good deeds. You can never earn it. This pardon, this royal pardon, is a favor from Almighty God. It's put like this in verse 17. Why does God pardon people? Because they deserve it now. Here it is. "You are God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in kindness. That's why God offers us pardon, because he's gracious. We don't deserve it. We deserve his eternal punishment, but he willingly offers us pardon. So this pardon is our great need. It's offered by a great God. It's a great favor to us. And fourthly, it's so wonderful because it was bought at great cost. For God to offer us this pardon was no easy matter. It cost God a great deal to be able to offer this pardon to us. Some people think it was easy. They don't see any problem. They seem to think that God decided to pardon our sin, just like that. That he just turned a blind eye to our sin and pardons us. God can't do that. Sometimes the traffic warden may do that. You're parked on the double yellow line and you see the traffic warden coming along and you smile at him and say, I'm sorry about that. And if, as they say, it's your lucky day, he may smile at you and say, well, never mind. When I was last in Norwich, I drove my car down a road. I've driven down it many, many times in the past. I cycled down it as a schoolboy, but I drove down this road and didn't realize I was driving down a road restricted to buses and taxis now. And I got a photograph of my car through the post telling me my sin. And I wrote to the council and said that I'm very sorry, I've driven down that road so many times, I'm visitor of the town and so forth. And they said, well, we'll let you off on this occasion. We'll let you off. And some people think God is like that. That we sin against God and he just smiles and says, never mind, I'll let you off. But God is just, you see. God is holy. God can't just smile at our sin and pretend he hasn't seen it. He knows all about it. How then could God forgive our sins? I say it cost him a great deal to do that. He allowed his own son. That's what Christmas was all about. God allowed his own son to come into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ to live with God the Father in heaven from all eternity. From before the world began, Jesus Christ was living there with God the Father in heaven. But God the Father allowed Jesus to leave heaven and come to this world. And he lived a perfect life, did no sin. Then God allowed his son to be put to death, crucified on a cross just outside Jerusalem by wicked, evil men. And when Jesus died upon the cross, he bore the punishment of our sin in our place. The punishment that was due to sinners like us was laid upon him. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon him. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sin was laid upon Jesus, and he bore the punishment of our sin. And God is ready to pardon us because his son bore the punishment in our place. It's absolutely free for us, pardon. It's a free pardon. It costs us nothing. But that does not mean it's cheap. It costs God, his own dear son, his precious blood. God allowed him to die upon the cross in order to secure pardon for sinners like you and me. That's why it's such wonderful news. God is ready to pardon. It's our great need. It comes from a great God. It's a great favor. And it was bought for us at great cost, the blood of Jesus Christ. God was able to forgive these people in the Old Testament because he knew that his son would be bearing the punishment of their sin. God is able to forgive us now living in this New Testament era because the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross to bear the punishment of our sin. Let me just mention two more things about this pardon. Let me mention that it's immediate. It's immediate. God offers it here and now. You see what Nehemiah says here, Nehemiah 9. You are God ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. At this very moment, my friend, here and now, in this building, on the 1st of January 2017, at 23 minutes past 7, at this very moment, God is ready to pardon you. He doesn't say, come back to church next week and I'll see what I can do for you then. Sometimes you ring up the doctor's surgery to make an appointment and they say, well, I can book you in a fortnight's time or 3 weeks' time. Got to wait 3 weeks to get a diagnosis of what the problem is. I got to wait 3 weeks to get medicine. God says, I'm ready to pardon you now. God says, I'll give you the diagnosis straight away. Don't wait. Your problem is your sin. Your sin will keep you out of heaven. Your sin will send you to hell. That's your big problem. And I'll offer you an immediate cure. I'm willing to pardon you now at this very moment because my son died upon the cross to bear the punishment of your sin. He doesn't say, come back when you've improved yourself a bit. That's what happens sometimes in the world, isn't it? You apply for a job and you're going to have an interview and they say, well, get in touch with us again when you've got a few more qualifications. Get in touch with us again when you've had a bit more experience. God doesn't say that. God doesn't say, wait until you're a bit better, then come and talk to me about pardon. God says, I'm ready to pardon you now, just as you are. Just as you are. He doesn't say, come back when you've done so many good deeds. God knows we can never do any good deeds to earn his pardon. He's ready to pardon us here and now. The vilest offender we sing, don't we? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. It's immediate. Then the last thing that makes this pardon so wonderful is that it's complete. It is a complete, total pardon. If we translated the Hebrew in which the Old Testament was originally written, if we translated it absolutely literally, the statement would read like this. You are God of ready pardons. Plural. You are God of ready pardons. Pardons upon pardons. And the idea is this, that God is able, God is willing to forgive us for all our sins. No matter what we've done. No matter how vile we've been. We may have gone down to the very depths. We may have been shaking our fists in the face of God for years and years and years. God is ready to pardon all our sins. Listen to another passage of the Bible in the book of Isaiah. It says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I love that. Abundantly pardon. I sometimes remember the things I did before I became a Christian in those wild teenage years. I've known my wife since childhood. We went to the same school together, and we lived 200 yards from each other, so we've known each other since year one. And when I was about 16, 17, I tried to chat up my wife and get friendly with her, and she said, forget it. And she ran off a list of the dreadful things I was doing and gave me the reasons why that was it. And I sometimes remember those dreadful things I did. And the devil sometimes says to me, can't you remember what you did all those years ago? Can't you remember what you said? Can't you remember the curses that came from your mouth? Can't you remember what you did? Can't you remember those horrible things you did? Who do you think you are, claiming to be a preacher of the gospel? Who do you think you are, leading a communion service? Who do you think you are, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can't you remember what you did? And then I remember this verse in Nehemiah. He's a God of pardons, plural. He's a God who abundantly pardons all our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment for Jesus, a pardon receives. Don't you agree? It's the greatest news you could ever hear. You are God, ready to pardon. It's our greatest need. It's offered to us by a great God. It's a great favor. It's been bought at great cost. And it's immediate and it's complete. So how can you receive this pardon here and now if you've never done so before? There's only one way. Only one way. Don't talk about what you can do to earn it. You can't. Don't talk about all your good deeds. Mean nothing. All is filthy rags in God's sight. How can you receive this pardon here and now? Turn to the Lord. Turn to God. Say to him, oh God, I realize that I've sinned against you in a terrible way. I realize that I deserve your anger. But oh God, I've heard this evening that you are gracious and merciful and abundant in kindness. I've heard this evening that you're ready to pardon sinners like me because your son died. Lord, I recognize that all my hope rests on Jesus Christ, your son. I recognize that I can only be forgiven because he died in my place upon the cross. So I plead with you, God, please cleanse away all my sin. Please forgive me. Make me your child. Make me ready to go to heaven when I die. And help me to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him with all my heart. And my friend, I assure you, no matter what you've done, if you turn to him in all your need, he'll pardon you wonderfully and gloriously. Now, a very famous preacher in America in the 18th century by the name of Samuel Davis put it all so wonderfully well in a hymn. And he put it like this. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike, and divine. But the fair glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Another verse. In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. A pardon sealed with Jesus' blood. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? I trust that someone here this evening at the beginning of 2017 will experience this amazing pardon which only God can give.